Once again, I always want to thank God the Father. I want to thank Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our dear friend. Welcome once again, and please take absolute control. I want to thank God for my pastor, PC. Thank you once again for this privilege. Whether it is voluntary or voluntold, thank God for the privilege. I want to thank God for the workers. I want to thank God for the ministers. Thank you for your faithfulness. May the Lord who sees in the secret reward you openly in Jesus' mighty name. And for every member, you're welcome. And everyone on Facebook, we welcome you into Wisdom Assembly. Again, I don't want to be remiss in also thanking God for my darling husband, the one who I call my only sugar cube, my only sugar masterpiece. Thank you, honey. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Just ask that the Holy Spirit take control. And let this message impact somebody powerfully in Jesus' name. And I want to believe that the take of the Holy Spirit seriously is for us not to live the same way we came. Even if it's just one sentence of the word, let that sentence explode in our hearts and our spirits so that by the time we leave this gathering, we'll not be the same. Today, my message is simply on, as the Holy Spirit has led, the attribute of faithfulness. The attribute of faithfulness. I believe that there's a season for every, you know, situation. I want to believe that the Lord is telling us this season, that this is the season where our faithfulness is going to be tested. Our faithfulness is going to be tested as a church, as individuals, as families, as parents, in whatever capacity. Even faithfulness will be tested at your place of employment. And I pray that the Lord is giving us a message to strengthen us as we go forward. What is faithfulness? This is my own humble definition of faithfulness. I want to say that when I looked at the word faithfulness and I meditated on it, breaking the word down is actually being full of faith. That's just the simplistic definition of faithfulness. What is faith in the Bible? The Bible tells us that faith is what? What is faith in the Bible? The substance of things not seen, hope for, evidence of things not seen. Thank you. When one has all of that in you, when you are full of it, then you can actually be accorded as and called a faithful person. Amen. Faithfulness is also one of the fruits of the Spirit in accordance with Galatians 5 verse 22. The Bible tells us that there are several fruits of the Spirit, of love, fruit of joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So if faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, then there means that it also means, ergo, it means that you and I, we have to develop that fruit within us. Now, as I said, that faithfulness can, at least in my definition, is this act of being full of faith. Now, faith in a person, faith in a place, faith in a situation, and in this case, we're talking about faith in God. Faithfulness takes resolve. It takes relationship. But at the end, it is rewarding. Faithfulness also gives anyone who is earnestly faithful a good reputation before men and absolutely before God. Our faithfulness, once again, will be tested. And it is hard for anyone to call themselves faithful if you have not been tested. Anyone can say and describe themselves as faithful. But when rubber meets the road, can I or somebody else around you say, yes, surely this person is a faithful person? Can we say before God that that Father, you know I am faithful. Because we know that our God, he knows us more than we know ourselves. So can you go before God and say that, Lord, you know I am faithful. When this situation was going on, Lord, you knew my heart. Today's Bible, we're going to be talking about a particular person in the Bible. But apart from this personality, there are other very outstanding examples of faithfulness in the Bible. And I want, before I even give examples, I just want to say that we live in the world of fickleness. Just in case you're wondering what the word fickleness means, fickleness is simply the opposite of faithfulness. A fickle person is somebody who can be swayed by emotions, swayed by situations, but do not hold fast to anything. A fickle person is not somebody that can be dependent on any situation. But we need, especially when we in our walk with God, our faith will be tested. And so we need to be absolutely faithful. There's no such thing as halfway faithful. It's either you are faithful or you are not faithful. Examples of people who are faithful, who you and I can recognize as faithful in the Bible, are Abraham, Moses, Noah, Joshua, Caleb, Daniel, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even Ruth, Peter, and Paul, to name a few. And in my life, one person, and I give glory to God and in all glory to God in saying this, but there's the person who I know in my life. I mean, I am surrounded by faithful people, but I can tell you that my husband is, if I'm asked to give examples of people in my life that are faithful, my number one person will be my husband. My husband has been faithful from the day I met him. He's not someone whose words, he doesn't throw around empty words. We live in a generation of, we have lived in generation, we have met people who have thrown about empty words. My husband is not one of such people. In fact, I remember that one of the things, very the first things that he said to me, I can never, ever forget, is when he said, I will take care of you. He said it in Yoruba, and that was, in fact, that was the word, I think that was the line that did it for me. In spite of everything else that he had said, that was the line that did it for me. That you will take care of me, I will take care of you. And I decided then and there that if this is somebody I want to hold fast to. And I thank God that 10 years and counting, we're still going stronger. To God be the glory. Can I please give my husband a clap? I love you, Lord. I love you, honey. And I thank God for you. Now, let's go to the person I'd like to talk about today. Now, before I introduce this person, I just want to give some Bible verses in as a foundational introduction. When we go to the book of Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it's very important. I'm going to be mentioning these Bible verses now. And I'm building a story and I'm building a case of faithfulness in this person's life. Judges 21 verse 25 says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own sight. So when we are in his own eyes, now when we look at a statement like that, this was the time of the judges in the land of Israel. Everyone did whatever they wanted to do. There was no, God was there, but they had removed God from the equation. How many of us know that when we have our life minus God, it equals chaos? So it was a chaotic time. From the book of Judges talks about people like Deborah, Caleb, people who had to fight many battles, where it was a tumultuous time. There was no king, but God gave them judges. Still, people decided to do what was right in their own eyes. This was the time of introduction for this Bible personality. So if you are holding a paper Bible, you can just maybe look on the next page. The person that I want to talk about today is the person of Ruth. When we look at the first chapter in the book of Ruth, it tells us about a family. And I just want to quickly read that. Ruth chapter 1, I want to start from verse 1. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now, just prior to that was the very last verse of the very last chapter in the book of Judges. Judges 21, 25. So it was a time when the judges ruled, but still people did what was right in their own eyes. This is what must have been what drove this family to make this decision. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Famine means emptiness. Famine means dryness. Famine means that it feels a period of famine is actually a time when it feels like God isn't talking. A period when it feels like nothing is happening. It feels like you're in the place of prayer. You are praying. You say, Lord, I remember when I was even meditating on this message. I have a poll there. There's the beginning of the year, we had the expectation card. I have one stock in the mirror in our bathroom. So that whenever I'm getting ready in the morning or I'm in the bathroom doing one thing or the other, I look at those prayer points and I still pray them. One of the things we prayed about, and I'm not trying to bring back any, immediate bad experience, but I'd have to say this as the Lord laid it on my heart. One of the things that we prayed for was for 250 membership church before the end of the year 2019. And then all of a sudden in September, there's an upheaval. And then all of a sudden, it looks like God isn't listening anymore. It almost feels like a time when you want to just go and say, God, where are you? What is going on? Why is there famine in this land? Why? We are praying, but you are God. You hear, you listen. You do not sleep, you do not slumber. We pray, we praise you. We fast, we call upon your name. Are you not there? That is the period of famine. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to it. So in the land of Israel at that time, the Bible says that there was a famine. And then a certain man of Bethlehem went to dwell in the land of Moab. Mistake. You see, in our flesh, and then the Lord spoke to me even using that very line, that as household, as head of households, we need to be very careful how we lead our family. We need to be very careful of the decisions we make. It might be, I've heard people say Elimelech made an employment or a financial decision. It became an economic immigrant into the land of Moab. But let's pause here for a second. I want us to go back to, because you see, scripture, pastor says scripture answers to scripture. I want us to quickly go back to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to come back to this book of Ruth, but I want us to take a pause here and go to the book of Deuteronomy. I just need to read this as the Lord has revealed it to me, so that maybe we'll gain a better understanding of what is going on here. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verses 19, the Bible says, and so it may not happen. Before I read this, I want to say that in that particular chapter of the Bible, God was talking to his children through Moses, and they were in the land of Moab, ironic. But God is telling them, Moses, to tell them that, and so it may not happen. When he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. This was a period in when we go back again to Judges 21, 25. Don't change the screen. Remember that the Bible said that they were doing what was right in their eyes. So every family was making decisions outside of God. Maybe there were those who were faithful, But this particular family is an example of a family who I strongly believe, this is my opinion, I do not believe that they sought God in making this decision. Now, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober, next verse, the Lord will not spare him. For then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book will settle on him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven. Now, there is not enough time, but if you start from that first verse of that chapter 29, the Bible, the Lord is warning the children of Israel not to mix with the idols. Now, ironically, God is an awesome God. Even after all of the enemies of the Israelites were driven out, where God already said they were going to be driven out, do you know that God said that they should not drive out the Moabites? Because of Lot. Now, the Moabites are an incestuous product of Lot. Moab, the firstborn, and Ammon, his brother. Lot's daughters took matters into their own hands and decided to have babies by their father. The products of this incest were the Moabites and the Ammonites. There is scourge, even I'm sure up until today, on the side of the Israelites, but they are related. And so for that reason, God said, no, do not drive out the Moabites. But they are idol worshippers. God is warning his children at the time, do not mix with them. If you mix with them, you will be cursed. And I will blot out your name from under heaven. God had warned the children beforehand. And I know that the one thing I respect a lot about the Israelites is that they are a generational people. They are not shy in passing their custom and tradition from one generation to the other. So, obviously, it means to me then that Elimelech was aware of all of this warning. But still, because there was famine in the land, this is a message for someone, he uprooted his wife and his two sons, and they went to the very land God told them not to mix or mingle with. So what did he do? Elimelech took his family from the covenant protection to outside the covenant. Sad but true. And we know that eventually Elimelech died. You know, it's amazing that after Elimelech died, his sons Mahlon and Chilion, they married two Moabite women. And after about 10 years, they died. Mahlon and Chilion died. So Naomi is left with just two daughters-in-laws, no husband, no sons. So the why is that question, if you're asking why, if peradventure you wondered why, that was the answer in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the people of Moab, apart from the fact that they are idol worshippers, they have been thorns in the side of the Israelites from time immemorial. The Moabite spirit is the spirit that bullies. The Moabite spirit is the spirit that oppresses. The Moabite women go out of their way to seduce the Hebrew men into worshiping idolatry, to sexual sins. So there was absolutely nothing to mean for them to have wanted to mingle with. What am I saying here? God is saying to us as a church that our faithfulness will be tested in the time of famine. When we come out of the time, because I can assure you that after this message, the Lord told me that we are coming out of this time. This is just a short season. How do I know this? Well, you continue to read from, I believe it's about the fourth verse of Ruth chapter 1. after she Naomi had lost her husband, after her sons had died, she heard that there was plenty in the land, that there was famine. Isn't that amazing? So life is in seasons. I'm here to encourage someone today, even if this is where my message stops, that it may look like you're going through a time of famine that is causing depression, that is causing so much weight. It could be anything, it could be everything that is going wrong at the same time. It feels like nothing is working, but I'm telling you right now that there's a message from the Lord. A message that has encouraged me several times is that it is just for a short time. So when we look, and I'm going to read again, I'm going to continue reading from the book of Ruth, chapter 1. I want to read from verse 6 to 18. This is going to be a longer read, and I ask that you please be patient with me. Then she arose. This is after she had heard. This is Naomi had heard that there was plenty. The land that there was famine, that they left because of famine, was now the land of plenty. She had heard. So she decided in herself that it is time for me to go back. After all, I don't have any. There's no reason for me to stay here in Moab anymore. Let me go back. So the Bible says, then she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Bread came back to the land of bread. Hallelujah. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return to each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest in the house of her husband." So she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb? And that they might be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they grow, till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Can we stop here for a second? She urged her daughters-in-laws to go back to Moab. Initially, the two of them said, "No, we want to go with you." But how many of you know that this is an example for, at least this is my opinion here, that this is an example of where words from the mouth is weighed against the words from the heart? Let us read further. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, and this is Naomi talking, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods." So they knew that these people worshipped other gods. "Return after your sister-in-law." I'm going to stop here for a second, because the next verse 16, is another one of the most profound verses in the Bible. It's such a subliminally profound statement from the heart. I have to say on behalf of Ruth, that thank God Orpah went back. Because if Orpah had gone, God only knows what the story would have been. But Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. I believe that at this point, even the action of her clinging to her mother-in-law was an act of faith. Let's pause for a second. This was a young woman who grew up among idols. This was a young woman whose words, whose everyone around her, her mother, her father, her siblings, were idol worshippers. There is a peradventure chance that everyone around her denounced the Lord of the God of Israel. They denounced that the fact they must have made little the fact that there is a God in Israel. Only choosing to want to, you know, proclaim that every act that the God of Israel ever performed was just story time. But this was a girl who knows what her heart was at the time when she married a Hebrew boy. Who knows what she, and I want to believe that whatever it was that Orpah was subjected to, Ruth had also been subjected to throughout the time of her marriage to her Ruth, Naomi's sons. So she must have heard about the living God of Israel. She must have heard about the miracles, the signs, the wonders this God has performed. She must have heard of how the Red Sea was parted. She must have heard of how the Lord, you know, took them through 40 years. How the great plagues of Israel, of Egypt, how the Lord delivered his children with a mighty hand. Now is still the same God to that day. The Bible said Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. So it was an action, an act of faith before the profession of faith. What did she say in verse 16? But, when I hear the word but, it means take a pause. But means pay attention to whatever the next words are going to be. But, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn. Or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord, in capital letters, this is a woman who was brought up in the land of idols. She recognized the Lord. She said, the Lord do so to me, I must so, if anything but death parts you and me. And the Bible says that when she saw, there was Naomi, saw that she was very determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. I'm going to tell you right now, that line in the verses of, the verses 16 and 17 was for me a moment where Ruth spoke words that changed her destiny. At that point, I believe strongly that God stopped seeing her as a Moabitess. She became a child of promise. I don't think you understand what I am saying. She was born a Moabitess. She must have received and clung to the teaching. And by herself, her own personal profession, accepted that there is a God, a living God above these gods that I have been serving. Such that it was, and she had a very good reason, like her sister-in-law Orpah, to have gone back. But she decided, no, I don't want to go back. In her statement, she recognized that there was a God who she said was the Lord. And she thrust herself into promise. She forced her way into promise. She used her words. Are powerful. The Bible says that the power of death and life is in the tongue. This woman decided to use her words to change her destiny. And how many of you know that her destiny was changed from that very moment? Her destiny was changed from that very moment.
So we need to be very careful how we, what the words we profess. Bible says in the book of Numbers that what the Numbers chapter 14, God says, as you have said it, as I say to them, as I live, just as you have spoken in my hearing, that means our God is always hearing, so I will do. This woman made a profound profession. It was outside. She was, look, she, they were going, coming from the land of where she knew to a land that she did not know. The only person that she can claim that she knows at that point was her mother-in-law. Even then, how many of you realize that? That when they first got into, back into Judah, in the time of the barley harvest, that even Naomi said, and the women, in fact, she didn't come back unnoticed. Everybody noticed. Oh, Naomi is back, Naomi is back. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Because I left with plenty, I left and I came back with none. She did not realize that what was accompanying her, because she was bitter. What was accompanying her at that time was going to be better than seven sons. Sometimes the Lord gives us a miracle right there, but out of bitterness because of a situation when we don't lift up our eyes up to the hill and thank the Lord of heaven and say, Father, I am grateful that at least I am alive and my story will change. But if we concentrate on bitterness, Naomi said, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. Because the Lord, the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. No. I'm here to tell you that though Naomi may have felt like that, the Lord had blessed her with the Ruth. Ruth was, she was faithful to this woman. I'm asking you today that the Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi wasn't any because of anything she was going to get from Naomi. What did Naomi have at that point? Let's look at it practically. Naomi was old. It was Ruth that was going to take care of her. It was Ruth that was going to be the one who's going to provide for her. But all that while, when we continue reading because of time, Ruth was dedicated. She was steadfast. She was dependent. She was obedient to the one who was now her mentor. She was practically her mother-in-law's armor bearer. She was the one before she did anything, she always went and asked and checked with her mother-in-law. She did not need to, but she submitted herself totally to this woman who said, I have come back with nothing. How many of you know that Ruth must have heard that statement, but did not let that statement affect her? She had already made up her mind. She was already determined before Naomi told them to go back. She had already made that determination in her heart that she was going with her mother-in-law, regardless of what her mother-in-law said. She wasn't going to be swayed. Faithfulness is not swayed. Somebody was talking about the hokey pokey. Faithfulness is not the hokey pokey game. There's a song, put your right hand in, put your right hand out, in, out, in, out. Check it all around. Do the hokey pokey. That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness is steadfast. It is unshaken. Faithfulness requires obedience. It requires trust. When you say you are faithful to Wisdom Assembly, the question is, if we did a heart operation, are you really faithful? Can you stand in the place where you hear somebody maligning your man of God and you would either, is either you keep quiet or you say something? Can you be in a place where they are maligning the church? This is the message from God. This is not me. Can you go in a place that you say, I am a member of this church, I am faithful, and they are maligning the name of the church, and you just keep quiet? Why? Because you don't want to be identified. Beloved, there is no half faithfulness. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. As a parent, your child is in school, and then you know your child, right? Basic example, you know your child. And then the teacher sends an email to you. And you read the context of the email and you say, absolutely not, this is not my child. If you can be faithful in such instances, we need to be faithful to God. Remember that God, faithfulness is an overt attribute. It's not an attribute that anybody can see. Everyone here can claim. If I say, let everyone who is faithful stand up, peradventure everybody stands up. The question is, when the rubber meets the road, like it did for Ruth, how many of us will still be found faithful? Ruth worked hard. She labored. She worked in the fields. She gleaned from Boaz's field. When it was time for her to be recognized by Boaz, her mother-in-law said, this is what you need to do. She did it. Her faithfulness gave her a very good reputation. That's faithfulness requires a strong resolve, and faithfulness, it gives us a good reputation. When we look at Ruth chapter 2 from verse 11, this is Boaz speaking. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Who told him? How did he know? Her reputation had preceded her. Such at the time that he had heard so much about Ruth, but how many of us know that when we study this whole book of Ruth, he did not know who Ruth was physically. Because when he first came into, the Bible says that when he came from Bethlehem back into his field, he asked the head of his field man, that who is that damsel over there? He did not know her physically, but he had heard about her. He had heard about how she left her parents' age. She left her nationality. She left everything she knew. Out of faith, like Abraham did, she stepped into a land that she did not know anyone. She was there to support a woman who did not recognize her as anything. She was there to be faithful because she had seen something beyond what Naomi has seen. She had to have had a very personal encounter with Jehovah God, such that she wasn't ready to go back to any place, but continue to go in the journey in her relationship with Jehovah God. Faithfulness is rewarding. Faithfulness is rewarding. I want to encourage everyone here. That I know that sometimes it doesn't look like anybody's recognizing everything that we're doing. Some people are calling you, what is wrong with you? Saying, you know, why are you here? Oh, don't you know this? Don't you know that? If you go to, there was a time when everybody was being encouraged to go to Texas. That everything was happening in Texas and nothing was in Kansas City. It looked like truly that was what was going on. But this was a woman who steadfastly dedicated herself to serving her mother-in-law. The Lord saw her secret heart. The Lord saw her secret dependence. The Lord saw her obedience. He saw the faithfulness in her heart and decided not only was she going to be married, she married a very renowned man, a man of character. She married Boaz. But she could not have been the only damsel at that time. Boaz even instructed his field people that she can eat with the maidens. That means there were other maidens. There were other ladies there that he could have married. But he married this one. How many of you know that she was barren when she was married to either Mahlon or Chilion? But by the time she married Boaz, the Lord blessed her with the fruit of the womb, Obed. The most profound reward for this woman is that this is a Moabitess, from the land of the people that the Lord had cursed. When you go to the book in the New Testament, and I believe it's in the book of Matthew, when they are talking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Ruth is there. Ruth became the grandmother of David, the mother of Obed, who the grandmother of Jesse, then the great-grandmother of King David. It's amazing how God, this God, this eternal God, game changer, can turn things around in an instant. I'm here to encourage that you and I, we have our own position. We have our own responsibility. God has given us a destiny that we need to fulfill. Some of us, I am encouraging you today not to talk yourself out of the destiny. This woman, she talked herself into destiny. She talked herself into recognition. She talked herself into a genealogy that is like none other. There is no way that you can talk about the lineage of Jesus, the earthly lineage of Jesus, and that you will not mention Ruth. And when we talk about Ruth, there is no way we can talk about her without making reference to her faithfulness. She's exemplary among others as a woman who was faithful. She did not go into this venture because of something she was going to gain. She had absolutely nothing to gain. And in conclusion, because of time, the Bible says, I actually need to read two Bible verses. Please permit me, and then I'll leave. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 to 8, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he is the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Hallelujah. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary when doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. A faithful person is somebody who does not lose heart, even in the time of famine. I just want us to stand up and just take a word of prayer. We have heard the word of God with regards to faithfulness. I don't know about you, but when the Lord ministered to me, it was a prayer time for me. That Lord, have mercy on me. Every time I have been found wanting in the area of faithfulness, every time by the words of my mouth I may have been faithless, every time by my action I may have appeared fickle, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, like Ruth today, let today be a game changer for me. Let like Ruth, oh God, in chapter 1 and verse 16. Father, I just want to make that declaration to you in your house. Lord, I want to ask that you have mercy, oh God, on me. Have mercy on everyone, oh God, whose heart is diligently crying out to you. Have mercy, oh God, on everyone who may have departed the right path. Have mercy, oh God, everyone who have left because of famine. Have mercy, oh God, when we should have stayed. Have mercy upon us, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, you change Ruth's story. Father, we ask that you change our story today in the name of Jesus. Father, on behalf of your church, you have spoken. Lord, we receive it. Father, we know that by your word, we have been thrusted into the time of harvest. Lord, I thank you because we have been thrust into the time of harvest. Lord, I thank you because Wisdom Assembly, we are reaping a bountiful harvest even this season in the name of Jesus. Lord, you did it for them. Oh God, you will do it for us. Because you do not leave, you are not a one who repents of what you have said. Lord, you exalt your word beyond yourself. Lord, we prayed your word back to you. You are the eternal game changer. And to you, O God, most excellent Redeemer, be all praise, be all glory, be all honor in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Hallelujah.